Rock Solid Radio wants to thank Maxwell Construction, who has been our sponsor since the very beginning. For over 30 years, Maxwell has delivered the highest quality projects by holding to their core values of customer satisfaction, positive attitude, respect, and excellence. So if you have any kind of commercial construction need, give Maxwell Construction a call today at 812-537-2200. Welcome to Rock Solid Radio. I'm Linda Hutchinson, the Executive Director of Rock Solid Families. I'm here with my amazing husband, Merle.
Woohoo!
How are you, babe?
I'm good. How are you?
You just keep making me laugh, and I guess I sigh right before you go.
You guys don't know, we usually have about four or five attempts. Take one, take two, take three, just because we can't start right without laughing.
Oh, well, you know.
It's all in good humor.
Yeah.
What do you think about today's show? How about that title? How about that title?
Yeah, what do you mean? Like, I think
today's title, guys, is, by the way, this is Rock Solid Radio, and today's title is You're Dead to Me.
It sounds a little harsh.
It does sound a little harsh, doesn't it?
And you came up with it.
I know.
Yeah. But it is a common phrase that people use a lot.
And if it's not a common phrase, it's a common thought process.
Yes, it is.
And so let's maybe explain it a little bit so that people don't like... By the way, isn't it a TV show or something?
Is it?
You're Dead to Me?
I don't know.
Isn't that Sarah's sisters?
Yeah.
That's right. I think it's a TV show.
Yeah.
But the idea here, guys, really is when we are done with somebody, we want to push them out of our life completely, as if they were never existing. And so the idea that somebody hurts us or we are bothered or offended by somebody and we push them out to such a degree with such strength that we say, you might as well be dead to me, okay? And so, you know, that makes a good phrase or line in a movie, but in real life, we got to be a little more aware of when we're going to go to that level. So, hun, we're bringing this up in our show because it comes up a lot in relationships and especially in marriages when there's been a level of hurt. And even if they don't use the phrase, you're dead to me, it's definitely boiling up in terms of how we're treating each other.
Right. It's the attitude. And it's not just in between husband and wife or ex-husband and ex-wife, but a lot of times it's to from mom or a dad.
Yeah.
Maybe there was abuse or betrayal, hurt, and the wounds are deep and they're really seeping and they're infected. But sometimes we're not aware of what that attitude, whether it be our attitude, our actions, our words even, and what that does to people around us, to our own soul, and also to our kids. What are they seeing? So we're really going to tackle that today. But before we do.
Yeah, let's thank a few sponsors and then let's get into it. So today, Rock Solid Radio would like to thank Casey's and Maxwell Construction as being part of the sponsorship for Rock Solid Radio. So Casey's Outdoor Solution for all your landscaping needs. Located outside of, actually, they always say located outside of Lawrenceburg, Indiana, but they're really, in our mind, they're right outside of Bright.
Yeah, but right, Bright's really not, doesn't have its own post office.
But it's right there on State Line Road. Man, Casey's, especially as we're not in spring yet, people, but as we start to get there, it is such a cool place to go hang out and to see. Casey does an amazing job down there. And so, and he just committed to hanging in there with us again. And so I really want to point that out. Like Casey believes in our messaging and wants good things for this community. And so we want to thank him. And just also thanks to the Maxwell people that if you've driven around and seen any construction projects, you've probably seen the Maxwell construction sign. And so, yes, they are a business and they want to build things. And obviously there's always people that are, you know, like, well, they're building again, but they're also building a strong community in a lot of ways. There's our ministry and many other ministries and other organizations that they helped support. And so we just want to thank them.
Yes. And, you know, part of our work at Rock Solid Families is building into and pouring into moms and dads. And I just had another healthy mom group today, and they were awesome women. And we just, wow, we really got into it today. But if you are looking for some support, please, please reach out to us at rocksolidfamilies.org, or you can find us online on social media, the Facebook page. I have a Healthy Moms group, private group. You have a Strong Dads private group.
Right.
Rock Solid Families has has a Facebook page as well. So that's how you can kind of get onto some current things. But really, we're here to encourage you, support you, to grow you, your family, and get them healthy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so part of getting them healthy is we just want to remind people about our Rock Solid Marriage Program. Is a very in-depth, really thoughtful, worked-out program to help couples to strengthen their marriage. Maybe there's an area where you guys feel like we're just drifting, or maybe we flat out have had some more than just bumps in the road, and we need some attention. So
maybe
Rock Solid Marriage.
Maybe you're saying this to your spouse.
You're dead to me. Yeah. Yikes. And we don't want to go there. And so there's you know, one of the things that you'll hear from any attorney that deals with family law is you really want to do everything you can to work this out, because the divorce will be the most expensive thing you do, not just in terms of finance, but in terms of just cost of living, in terms of the quality of life you have going on. And so that doesn't mean that every marriage can be salvaged. And we're not even here to say that. We've come to realize that some marriages are not going to be salvaged. But we do know that when we have kids involved and we have family and we have generations, we want to build them. So we have packaged Rock Solid Marriages in three different packages because we want to be able to make it accessible, whether it's time or whether it's money or a combination of the two. We want it to be able to be in your hands. So our gold package is $997, and it is, this is the deal. This is the whole deal. Okay. This is five one-on-one visits with us, and they can be either Zoom visits or in person at our office if you're in our area. It comes with our workbook. It comes with 10 videos that are pre-recorded that talk about the subjects that are in place. It comes with emergency calls, meaning like if you get into a stumbling block area as you're doing some of the homework and you're not getting through it well, you have our private phone numbers and you can call us and we can try to help work you through that. So that is our big gold package. The second, you want to do the second package?
Yeah, the silver package is $497, and it's the 10-week program with the workbook, with the videos. But there's not that five one-on-one coaching sessions. There's two 30-minute sessions. And you also, in both of these packages, gold and silver, you have the availability of a coach for emergency calls and help along the way. So that's the silver package. And then the bronze package is basically just $297. That is the workbook, the videos, the program itself that you can go through at your own pace. And so really, we're here to walk alongside you in whatever situation, in whatever relationship. And the Rock Solid Marriage Program is one of our greatest ways. We just did a show last week on premarital counseling, and we have a program called Prepare that we do with premarital couples, and that's another package that we offer. So, you know, we're here to help, but hon, let's get into this show, because this is what we're seeing in our world today. This is the culture we're living in, especially politics, social media, our communities, even in families, we're seeing this attitude of you hurt me and you will never hurt me again. So in my mind, in my heart, you're dead to me.
Yeah. The extreme of this, hon, that we're seeing is that this, you know, in recent years, we've heard the phrase tribalism. We've become tribal and those kind of things. And it's gotten to the point where you use the word, if you've hurt me, but we're seeing it even to the point where if you don't agree with me. If you don't agree with me, then you're either for me or you must be against me. And so, like, this is part of the breeding of the phrase that we've heard a lot of, cancel culture. You know, all these things come into play here where we're just throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, you know, you could have somebody who did great stuff all their life and they do make one misstep or go out of bounds a little bit, which, by the way, all of us do.
Yes.
Right. And we quickly want to say, you're done. You're finished. And I mean, you know, we hear plenty of our folks are, you know, talk about the woke culture. That idea of you're dead to me means you have no more value. You are worthless.
Yeah.
And we better be careful with that, because the guy you're pointing fingers at right now, you may be the guy next in line. Yeah. All of us are, we all have our struggles, guys. And this is not the talk. By the way, we're not any means saying we should let people off the hook. No. But we better be careful how we crucify relationships, individuals, and, you know, family members, friends, neighbors. So we have to be careful.
Yeah. We're not saying not to have clear and healthy boundaries and to have limits. And especially if you have been hurt, we're not saying to go back and trust that relationship all over again.
Right.
But we are saying that what are we showing as a culture in a family when the minute we disagree or the minute we're hurt, we take our ball and run and go home.
Yeah.
And that's not how we are called to resolve conflict, whether you're a Christ follower or not, whether you mm-hmm. believe the Bible or you believe in Jesus or not. I'm just saying in our world today, if we want to be civil to one another, if mm-hmm. we want to work together as a community, we've got to learn to resolve conflict in a healthy, kind, respectful way.
Yeah.
And there is that possibility, even if you disagree or even if someone has hurt you deeply.
Yeah, I remember, hon, when I was getting my first jobs, I mean, I'm talking being in high school, and if I were to be complaining about my boss or whatever, I remember my dad using the phrase, well, you better be careful what bridges you burn.
Yeah.
And I think as a high schooler, that was kind of like, what? What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. But the idea of people, we all have connections. In business, we talk a lot about networking, right? You network. And so you might know somebody today, and it might just be nothing more than what you would think of as an association.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, 15 years down the road, you see, wow, it's because of this connection that this whole other deal worked out in my life. And without that connection, man, that would have never happened. And so the idea here is, listen, people have value. All people have value. And so be careful.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's never a bridge to burn. That's not where we're going here. What I'm saying is you better be more thoughtful.
Yes. And, you know, I've had different jobs. And so I always tell folks when I'm coaching them, leave classy. And so if you are wronged by a boss, let's say, or a coworker, you feel is stealing from you or cheating you out of your promotion or your bonus, the last thing you want to do is go in and spray paint their car or throw a brick through the window. Like, that's not leaving classy. Mm-hmm. And it's not resolving conflict in a healthy way. Yes, if you are feeling like you're being mistreated at work or something, then yes, go in and talk to your boss. And if it can't be resolved, then maybe you go search for a different job. But you don't go in with this attitude of, you're dead to me.
Yeah.
And really, like you said, burn those bridges. And it's not really about, you know, making sure someone's going to scratch your back later on. It's really about, as you said, seeing worth and value in all people, even if you disagree, even if they hurt you, because there's going to be a day, like you said, where this might be you that's the boss, having hard conversations and having to let people go or disagreeing with somebody and they come attacking at you. So how are you going to treat people?
Yeah, the idea, like we talked about, the idea of are we worth something or are people valuable? And I think the idea here, just because somebody either makes more money or less money or has a certain position of power or not, these are the things that our human brain can get trapped in. Mm. But the idea here, Matthew 10, 29 through 31, just reminds us again that are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. And this is not written to just one person. This is like us. And sometimes this is hard because we see somebody who maybe doesn't perform as well at a certain job, and maybe they're not as valuable to that position or that job. That does not make them a worthless person.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, right now in our culture today, it's you're dead to me, this attitude of like, you're disposable. I'm just going to throw you in the trash. And that's how we're treating life now, right? With abortions and so many different examples of like, we don't even value people as human beings. And so maybe you're not disposing somebody in the trash, but we kick them to the curb the minute they hurt us, the minute they disagree with us. And that's just dangerous. And so we're asking you to really be considerate and to understand that every person has value, even when they don't agree with you.
You know, we've talked before about the instant gratification, microwave world. Well, we're also in the disposable world.
Yep.
And, you know, this, I was very aware of this because my dad early on explained to me that he was a fix-it mechanic, and there were other guys that he knew in the business that were replace-it mechanics. And fix-it mechanics, like, he always had a sense of pride about that, because a fix-it mechanic is actually a guy who says, wait, you know, this is all beat up, broken, and busted, but I can fix it. Mm-hmm. And so he would take something that used to be valuable, it was kind of broken, and he would put it through rehab, mm-hmm. in other words, and he would fix it and bring it back to life. Yeah. And that was like he saw the value. We'd see that with homes. We'd mm-hmm. see the fixer-upper, yep. extreme makeover. We see these kinds of things because people, yeah. some people can see the value even in brokenness.
Yeah, but this is what's interesting though, hon, and the Bible's very clear about that. You're not taking any of that with you. Yep. And the car and the house and your wallet and your net worth, like all of those things disappear. It's the relationships at the end mm-hmm. that you are surrounded by people who love you and you love and that you get along with. And if you've kicked all of those people to the curb because they didn't agree with you or because they hurt you, you're going to be a pretty lonely old man. Or an old woman.
That's my point.
Yes.
My point is fix the relationship.
Yes. Yes.
Fix
yes.
the relationship because it's, you know, if I'm willing to put some elbow grease into mm-hmm. repairing an old house or an old car,
yep.
how about some elbow grease into a relationship?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And, you know, although it does feel good sometimes to think about going on a deserted island and being all by yourself and not having to deal
start
with.
Start fresh.
Yeah. to deal with the problems and the darkness of this world. But that's a pretty lonely life. And you can't live on a deserted island and find yourself really feeling loved, okay? You need mm-hmm. other people to feel loved. And so my point is that God created us for community. And so don't think you can just shut everybody out, cut everybody off, kill everybody off in your relationships and go live on that deserted island because it's going to be a very lonely, hopeless place.
Yeah. Okay. So we have talked about the whole concept of you're dead to me or pushing people out of your life. But hon, let's get a little bit more concrete yeah. now with the idea of, okay, so what can we do? Because
yes.
the idea here of never being hurt
yeah.
is probably not going to happen in this no. life. We are no. going to get hurt. We are going to have brokenness in relationships. So a couple of things, let's go through the practical part.
Yes.
And the first part is like, well, I better understand the why.
Mm-hmm.
And we already talked about some of this, but the first off idea is everybody is valuable
mm-hmm.
and no one's more or less valuable. Okay. And so first off, this is a Christian perspective, by the way,
mm-hmm.
and we've seen there have been entire cultures. When we think about Hitler and we think about the concentration camps, when we think about mm-hmm. the Jews and the, mm-hmm. and basically the idea was there is no value in these people.
Wow. Yeah.
And there's one group of people that is highly valued and one mm-hmm. that is not. And that is not per Christian thinking. And that's just mm-hmm. one of the many reasons why we subscribe to the Christian faith, that
yeah.
we are all of value.
Yeah. But again, okay, let's put Jesus aside, God's word aside, civility. Okay. Mm-hmm. Civility within relationship is essential to grow a healthy society. You know, look around on the news and social media and out in public. Are you seeing civility between people? I mean, literally they're like taking out a gun when someone takes their parking spot in the mall. I mean, that's not civility.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to start doing something different. And our kids are watching. And we are the role models as adults. And what are they seeing when we have conflict with somebody, when someone wrongs us or hurts us? Are we literally in front of our kids saying, that person's dead to me?
Yeah. And then something that your kids actually see, and they either are hurt by it or they accept it and take it in. And that's Galatians 5:15. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other.
Yeah.
And this is what happens. Like it becomes, well, this is what we've always done.
And I just heard a therapist recently say this because he's seeing it now so much more. And that is because us as adults have taught our children that, and now our children are growing into adults and then they're turning around and they're literally doing our own, our mm-hmm. own
stuff.
Attitude
yeah.
stuff. To us.
Yeah.
So maybe we showed that with maybe my brother, let's say. I love mm-hmm. my brothers, but let's say my brother and I got to an impasse and I looked at him and said, you're dead to me. And so my kids saw that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk to Uncle Mike anymore, Uncle Dan anymore. we don't associate with them. We can't even speak their name. Well, when our kids grow up and they see that's how we handle it, That's what they can turn on us and do to us.
You pushed it into the next generation, yes, exactly. Whether you liked it
and
or
so
not.
And so are you ready for them to do to you what you're doing to other people? What do you want them to see?
That's prejudice through ignorance, yeah. Right? And that's, I mean, we can write books and do talks all day long about the damages of prejudice, but it comes through the initial ignorance and failure to do the work that we're talking about here.
All right, let's talk about how should we resolve conflict, okay?
So,
what is the healthy way to handle it?
Yes. So there's, I wrote out 10 points here. Okay. And the idea here is we first better recognize one that we're hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like I'm just not mad at you. So I'm not talking to you. We've got to actually recognize the hurt. Yeah. We have to call it out and identify it. This is what actually happened.
Right.
Be specific. Okay. And then recognize the emotions that get wrapped up in that. Mm-hmm. And so the reason why we have to wrap up in the emotions is because we know, and I've talked many times, the emotional brain and the logical brain don't work well together.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty diametrically opposed. And if I keep myself in an emotional thought process about a relationship,
mm-hmm.
then I can either be blinded by love or I can be blinded by hate.
Yeah.
Either extreme.
Yeah. So if you recognize that someone has sinned against you, okay, go to that person, not talk about them with everyone else in your circle, okay? Not hold a grudge and cut them out of your life. Go to that person face to face, not online, not through text, not through an email. Go to that person and sit down with them and say, hey, can we talk? Can we get coffee? Can we go to lunch? And say, this is what you've done to hurt me. This is how I have felt. And so that way you can identify it. And that person may have no idea, because I've had this before, that they had even hurt your feelings by something they said or did. And man, the remorse and the healing can be so quick and so complete. But man, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah. We oftentimes refer to it as the Matthew 18 approach, right?
Yeah.
The Matthew 18, where he actually talks about go to your brother and sister and start the dialogue, start the process. And it doesn't say, and this will be clean and this will be easy, but it is the process. And I think one thing which goes to the second part of this, if you go to your partner or brother who's hurt you and you go in with an attack, an offensive attack, then right away you are in a self-righteous frame of mind. And so practicing humility from the get-go. And so one great way to practice humility is from the get-go when you approach your brother or your partner or whoever you're in conflict with is to start with, you know, I'm sorry, I've really been thinking about some things here. The idea that I apologize and I approach with humility. Humility also allows me to know who God is and who I am. And I'm not God. And so it puts me in my place pretty quickly.
Yeah. So I'm going back to step one with facing them face to face. And if it doesn't resolve it, then the part of Matthew 18 says, then bring one or two others as witnesses to kind of maybe mediate. Okay. Again, not social media. Not a mom mentality, not, you know, unforgiveness and holding grudges for the rest of their life. We're talking about, I'm going to resolve this as much as I can, as much as it's under my control. I'm going to try to resolve and reconcile with somebody who's sinned against me. And that's what the Bible tells us to do.
And you know, the idea there that there's a high level of confidentiality and privacy in that, because publicly airing all of these kinds of things brings out what you just talked about, the mob mentality.
Yeah.
And mob mentality usually goes right into emotional responses.
Yes. And the Bible says, if you keep biting and devouring each other, you're going to destroy one another.
Yeah.
So the humility is step two. Number three is own your part. Even if it's 5% of the problem and you think that person is 95% in the wrong, you lead with your 5%. Hey, I'm sorry, as you said, I've been really dwelling on this and holding a grudge for a while, and I'm sorry, but this is how I was hurt, okay?
Yeah.
And so you're owning your part. Like, I've been grudge holding. Maybe I didn't come to you right away. Maybe I talked about you behind your back. I'm going to own that part.
Yeah. And so the next part of there is our fourth step is the idea of forgiveness, okay? And we write the idea that I don't like to forgive. I don't want to forgive. It is not of my nature.
No.
But another idea here, guys, we subscribe to the Christian faith because Christ teaches us to forgive. It is commanded to forgive one another. And that's all the more reason to remind me that, yeah, it's not natural. I don't want to do it. But we forgive. But here's the deal. Forgiveness is not so much what you're doing for that person. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is the peace that you're trying to seek for yourself. Yes. Like, yes. I've got to get this toxic buildup out of me, because every day I wake up and I think about this situation and I'm angry and frustrated. My blood pressure goes up. And so I've got to get some peace. And so forgiveness is the first step of healing for yourself internally.
Yes. It's not condoning the behavior.
Right.
It's not trusting that person again. It's like you said, it's for you. Okay. And if you haven't listened to our podcast a couple months ago on Forgiving Forward, we had some special guests who's written a book called Forgiving Forward. Mm-hmm. And it was an amazing show. And it really talked about the torment that we experience when we choose to unforgive. And you've heard the old adage before, unforgiveness is like you drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die.
Yeah.
And so we are poisoned by it.
Yeah. So the next step, the fifth step, is the idea of, so if you've recognized you've done something wrong, then not only are you talking to give, to forgive, but seek forgiveness. Yeah. Like, hey, you know what? I'm asking for you to forgive me. I've recognized what I've done wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to own that. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking for you to consider forgiving me.
Yeah.
Now, there's a hook here. And the hook is, you can't expect it, because you moving on based on whether they forgive you or not is not in your control.
Yeah.
And so I could say, hey, you know, hon, I'm sorry. You know, I asked for your forgiveness. Yes, I want that, because it's going to allow our relationship to start to heal. But I can't press that out of her. I can't demand it and say, you must forgive me. And so I do. It is great to ask for it, because it allows another level of humility that, man, I really am seeking this relationship with you.
Yeah. Step six is reconcile whenever possible and whenever it's safe. You know, what would healthy reconciliation look like for those around you? And so we would love the restoration of the relationship. God wants the restoration of the relationship, but he wants it to be a healthy relationship.
Right.
So don't say never, okay? I'm never going to talk to that person again. I'm never going to be around that person again. I'm never going to trust that person again. Because would that be what you would want if you did something wrong, if you had a misstep? Would you want that to be the way that people treated you? And so I'm just asking for keeping your heart and mind open. Again, healthy boundaries, protect your heart, but please, please don't ever say never. Never say never.
Never say never. You know, hon, I see that. And the idea that when I've seen people reconcile, especially when I've seen some pretty significant damage, and you see people sort of come to that level of humility and they kind of fall to the ground, and you see that reconciliation, and then you see the rebirth of either a new relationship, whatever. Yeah. For you and I to witness that on the outside is an incredible reminder of what Christ does for us.
Yes.
And it doesn't even seem right half the time. Like, how did that even happen? We are reminded of that with my parents after they divorced, and we watch them reconcile. Did not reconcile the marriage. They reconciled the relationship. And so, you know, they ended before my mom died. They were great friends again.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so that reconciliation, that bringing it back and seeing the value in that person was probably the greatest influence on us kids.
Yes, absolutely. Step seven is pray to the Holy Spirit to soften your heart. And so, you know, if you're holding grudges, if you still feel hurt and wounded and justified in anger or revenge, then you really need to pray like, God, I need to seek your will. God, show me what to do. Tell me when it's safe, God. I want you to lead the way. So pray.
Oh, man, that just...
Easier said than done.
Yeah,
right?
But that's what you have to do. Like, you have to ask for the Holy Spirit. This is that thing that if you're not into praying and you're not used to it, like, this is that talk of you actually saying, I need help.
Yeah.
Because I'm about ready to kill this person or push this person out. And I need some help with just quieting my heart.
But that's where people get stuck.
Yeah.
Right there. Mm-hmm. And I cannot tell you how many people who aren't even Christ followers come into our office and they have held on to grudges. And they'll admit, I'm a grudge holder.
Yeah.
And they have stayed stuck in anger and bitterness and resentment for so long. Mm-hmm. And it's not even about the spouse they're in for. It's about the dad or the mom or the sibling or the old boyfriend or the ex or whatever that they've never reconciled and never healed from years ago. Right. And that's coming into their current relationships.
Yeah. Okay. So our eighth point is, and this gets really confusing to a lot of people, the idea of don't confuse trust and forgiveness.
Yep.
They're two completely different ideas. Yep. We'd love for them to just come together perfectly all the time, but they don't necessarily do that, because forgiveness is getting rid of the revenge, the hate, the hurt, and saying, I'm done with that. That part is dead to me.
Yes.
Okay. But trust, listen, we're not asking you to go trust somebody because their behaviors might not be trustworthy.
Yes.
All right. So I don't jump right back into a business deal with somebody who ripped me off before, but I got to get rid of the anger inside of me. And so trust, we've done many shows on just building trust. Mm-hmm. There is a whole new practice. And if we're going to actually build the trust, which in we're talking about reconciliation of a marriage, then that's work that still has to be done. I mean, we are going to have to work on building that trust. But don't confuse the two. Forgiveness first when we're hurt, and then we start the process of saying, okay, what are the steps going to be that we're going to have to do? What's the hard lifting of rebuilding the trust?
Right. And trust takes two. So sometimes, like you said, the heart isn't there for the second person. You know, this is a really important one, hun. And number nine is allow time for healing. Allow time for healing. And I especially want to talk to those who have been betrayed and hurt in a marriage. Because what do we do? We look at that ex and we say, you're dead to me. And maybe you don't have children, so you don't have to ever talk to them again. You don't have to see them again. You don't have to have any conversation with them again. And then what do? Before you heal, you jump into another relationship and you literally grab and take all of that hate and anger and resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness, and you bring it into the current relationship. And the first time they don't answer your phone or they're late, it all comes flooding back because you've not allowed time to heal. Divorce Care, which is a kind of a Christian-based recovery program for those that have gone through divorce, say to the time for healing sometimes takes up to 3 years.
Oh, yeah. 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 And we see that with grief. We see that with a number of things. You know, I think of it, hun, like, things do want to heal. Nature does want to heal itself. When we see a forest fire and at the instant we can say the fire's out, we look at the devastation and we think there's never a chance. I mean, things are never going to be normal. But nature is self-healing. It wants to heal. It wants to seek out its own health. But it does take time to do that. And so when we have like a divorce or even a death and we go, man, life will never be the same. Well, it may not be the same, but it can be healed.
Yes.
Okay. It can be healed. And so time, it takes some of that time for some of the emotions to be less raw, some of the growth, the new growth, the new mindsets. So it is very important to put more realistic time frames on the healing of a relationship or any kind of hurt.
Yeah. Don't rush it. The last one, step 10, is remembering the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, Matthew 7:12. And so treat others the way you want to be treated. As you said, you know, somebody may have done a misstep, somebody may have hurt you, somebody may have spoke out of turn or the wrong thing, but you got to remember, my word of the year is grace, because I want grace, but I'm not very generous about giving grace. And so I got to be really careful about throwing a stone, right? Or pointing a finger, because I know that I am capable of doing some of the things that I'm holding people to the feet to the fire for.
Yeah. Yeah. It is difficult, especially when we can get in our own little area that we might think we've mastered fairly well. We can become kind of self-righteous in that little area. But I guarantee you, you have plenty of areas that you struggle in. And so when you point out all those sins of other people, we better be really careful. And it's just a matter of time. And this does not mean that we do not discern. We should discern, okay? But judging people to the point of saying, you're dead to me. Another way that we oftentimes hear this, hun, is you can go to hell.
Oh.
All right. And you think about really the implications of what you just said there.
Wow.
Okay. Like, do you hate anyone so much that you would want them cast for eternity in that sort of place?
There's actually some people who have that much hate in their heart.
Yeah. And again, like, that phrase may have come out of my mouth before, right? Yeah. But the idea of when we actually see what that is, man, I hope that people are willing to give me a second chance.
Yeah. So the challenge that we're leaving you with today is search your heart, okay? Don't point fingers. Don't look around at who needs to hear this and what needs to change for other people, okay? This show is for you. And so I need you to search your heart. We're searching our heart. Is there someone in your life that you are ready to say you're dead to me? And maybe not in those words. Maybe you've already kind of expressed this with your actions or your attitude. Sometimes even teenage girls, they just give the look, right? They just got to give the look. Or maybe they leave you unopened, you know? And that's the big thing. Like,
unopened?
Yeah. Like in Snapchat.
See, I am
like,
so uncool.
I know.
Unopened. Like, that means like you just disregard my message.
Exactly. You're not even going to acknowledge me.
That's terrible.
I know.
You're dead to me.
But, you know, maybe there's someone that you have that anger toward. You know, really it's time to search your heart because it's eating you alive.
Yeah.
It's that poison inside you. And so this dead to me phrase, this attitude of just disgust and disdain for somebody, it's got to be something you work on for your health.
Yeah, the intentional part of that challenge is while you're seeing the negative or the bad, can you dig a little deeper and see if you can find anything positive about that person? Are there any redeeming qualities or factors that you go, you know, maybe there's something there that has value and worth, and we know for fact that they do have something. And so the challenge is being intentional about trying to see the good in others.
Okay, and not just see the good in others. But how about search your heart as to why this is causing so much emotion in me? This is maybe triggering something deeper. Maybe someone is doing or saying something that takes you all the way back to an abusive situation or a betrayal early on in your history that you've never healed right. And so something small somebody is doing is literally just opening up this wound again and reinfecting something that's never gotten healed for.
All right. So we hope that you guys got something out of this. And if you are okay in relationships right now, which that would be our hope, but you know somebody who's struggling, please share the show, all right? I mean, that's the benefit here. This is our little library that hopefully there's some value in different parts of it at different times. So share these shows, share the messaging. Guys, thank you for 5-star ratings and things like that. If we can help you in any way, please go to our website. You can see some of our offerings there. It's rocksolidfamilies.org. Or if you're looking to go a little deeper, maybe with actually some counseling or coaching, give us a call at our office, and that's 812-576-7625.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening to Rock Solid Radio, building a stronger community, one family at a time. Make it a great day.
Rock Solid Radio wants to thank Casey's Outdoor Solutions. Casey's is a premier garden center and gift shop located in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. They offer a wide selection of high-quality plants, landscaping materials, and home decor. They do amazing high-quality work and can help you transform your indoor and outdoor living spaces into something beautiful. So stop by Casey's Outdoor Solutions today and let them know you appreciate their support for Rock Solid Radio. Visit Casey's today at 21481 State Line Road, Lawrenceburg, Indiana.